American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting you from the Internet for Monday, July 7, 2008. And you're listening to Newsreel, the Wall Global Sit-Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. RAND Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, which does not have any synthetic rock, I know, I checked, Radio Red, Mercury, and Venus, Second Life, Node Archers, where we've got a grand total of, I think, 11 or maybe even 12 people are in there now. But a whole crew of dudes show up here Thursday nights at about 7 o'clock-ish, which is my general time for when I record the show. And people are very, very cool to hang out and get a sneak preview of the entire thing. If you want to do that, you just go to Node Archers at grid 137-102-9999 or show up there. Be nice, play friendly, and no one will shoot you. As well, let's not forget that the people inside the New Wasteland are listening to the show. And if you get to the New Wasteland, you can see it from satellite at 3403-19.41N and 11737-29.50 West. Just throw that inside your Google Maps, and you'll begin to see the beginnings of a massive sort of shantytown city on the outskirts of California. So let's get into some feedback. Dear Sean, I recently viewed a very important video outlining, in simple terms, the economic mechanism that drives our debt slave society. Now, I get these from time to time. And occasionally, you know, for people like me, I'm sort of become cynical over the last 10 years of doing this. But it is important to remember that, you know, why you have to revisit these things. You have to look at why money is designed to keep you in debt. And this is a great film to do this. And the movie is called Money as Debt. And it can be found on One Big Torrent. I've got a list for it down at Recomedia. Do not worry. You'll be able to get it there. The movie does a fantastic job of illustrating not just how banking is controlling public policy, but providing insight into how the gears of the machine work, and also, more importantly, how to work around them. This video's simple presentation of the system is an excellent tool for education of the masses about the fundamentally flawed nature of our economic system. The only force preventing economic reform is the ignorance of the population, so a few of us have to grasp even the most basic nature of our economic system so that support for reforms become limited to those who have gone to great lengths to learn about its operation, which is true. I mean, they make it, like, so incredibly boring, and economics so incredibly boring that you have to be, like, you know, a class 5 psycho, totally, you know, nerded out dude in order to get into this stuff. Not to slight on the guys who are into that stuff. I'm just saying, it's pretty dry. And even, like, you know, even Noam Chomsky's got to say, that stuff is pretty dry. If this information can be distributed to the point where the information within becomes common knowledge, the population will be empowered with the mental tools to overthrow government pressure and reform the system. Please view this video and recommend this media on your show. If this has been featured before, I apologize for this redundancy, but after viewing it, I felt compelled to spread the information to as many people as I could. Thanks again for your awesome show. You are the fucking man. Continuity! Well, thank you, Continuity, for the lovely compliment, and thank you for apologizing if you've already submitted it. But you know what? That's okay. I get a lot of doubles and double entries and stuff like that. And if you haven't heard of it in the show, and you're a fan, and you've been listening, and you haven't heard of this thing, Money is Debt is something you want to check out. It's going to in the Recomedia links. Go there, Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com, and you'll be able to get at today's links and every day's links, especially if you go down the side. There's a slight that says tags, and you can get all the entries, and all the shows are tagged newsreels. Just click on newsreel, and you get all the entries. Hoorah! Number two, g'day, Sean. I love your newsreel show and patrolling. But as I'm here in Australia, I can only hear the show via podcast downloading of the shows. Not so, you could also get on in Second Life. I noticed the Newsreel archives are missing the last few shows, and the log in our backup site says always shows a forbidden 404 error. Interesting! An iTunes feed is sometimes uploading in duplicate shows for the wrong date. Hey, I'm not complaining. I know life gets in the way. I just wanted to offer some help in case you need it. I have a number of web servers in the USA and Australia as I run my own web software firm. I am more than happy to set up another WOG in our backup site to host your shows for free. No catch, just sharing the love. So if you could do with another host, please let me know. He's meaning like a person to host the show. I'm more than happy to set up a single web-based tool. You upload shows or send me a file link each week, and I will post it up. It can also easily make a little web page embedded in the player for them. Also, let me know if I can help out. P.S. Sean and Sim, are either of you guys going to the Hope Hacker Conference in New York in July? No. Since it's going to be the last one, I'm packing my swag and heading to New York for it. If you're going to be, let me know. It'd be great to meet you in real life. Thanks from Down Under, Darth Dread. Arm yourself with information. Darth, you know, after reading your email on the show here, I think I sent you like a really fast reply saying, yeah, you can get out my new WOG Newsreel backup. And, you know, I felt really bad after that, but then, of course, I deleted your email, so I'm not able to respond to you in kind. But as a guy who runs and does a lot of web development, he's probably like, dude, this guy probably gets so much email. Yeah, definitely shoot another email to siminfo@randradio.com. My apologies again for you to, you know, it's pretty big of you to come up and say, hey, I want to help, and then, you know, for me to totally lose your email and screw that up and send you this crazy thing. We're not going to Hope. I'm very sorry. I'm afraid to enter the United States these days, but that's not necessarily true. I'm not really afraid to enter the United States, but they're doing a lot of crazy stuff at the border, you know? Like a lot of crazy stuff at the border. But anyway, Darth Dread, yeah, just drop me another email. I'm sorry, man, if this isn't working out and I didn't get back to you. Sure, it might be cool to have another host. Usually Sim looks after that kind of stuff. But thank you very much for the compliment and to offer up, you know, to be part of the show and to distribute the show and everything. I mean, is there really any higher praise than that? I would say no. Now, this particular show is the show where I'm going to be explaining that it's not... I used to think that our method was going to be pharma-fascism. I thought that was going to be the way they were going to beat us down. But that's just a tool. I thought the whole thing was going to be pharma-fascist, but it's not moving fast enough for them because we have these things like the FDA, and they can't pay these guys off fast enough in order to get the FDA to just okay every single psychotropic, you know, massively addictive substance, you know, so they can get their subscription culture. You know, that's what they want to do. So what they're going to do to get around that is they're going to do stuff with getting chipped. Now, a few weeks ago, I did the mind-numbing story where they're doing experiments on people by putting chips in their brain and treating them for depression at about $40,000 a pop. So they actually put a chip inside your... They're doing this. This is not speculation. This isn't a white paper. This is actually, like, working results. They even showed that they had a chick who they could turn up and turn down her smile on a knob. Like, I'm volume up. I'm really happy. Oh, turning it down. Essentially, exactly what they did in the film Judge Dredd, where the guy was like the psycho dude and he had the knob on his forehead and you turn it up to angry and you turn it back down to docile or whatever. Yeah, that's what we're talking about here. And these experimentations, you're not seeing anything about this on CNN. You're not seeing anything about this in any news source. You're probably the only guy talking about this shit's probably me. To be honest with you, I have not heard about this in any other media source at all. The fact they're putting chips in people's head, of course, now you're thinking, I mean, that's so incredibly mind-numbing. That's so mind-numbing. The thing that really nails me for it is that they got it right out of the gate because they're calling it a treatment for depression, right? Well, depression's a pretty loosey-goosey sort of diagnosis. Are you feeling bad? Chances are you might have mild depression. So we'll set it for the mild setting on the brain chip, which now as technology progresses, we can insert with a needle. You see what I'm saying? We're talking about some pretty serious modifications that can be made to the brain. And this is why we're going to see more of it. Check this out. This new story I'm leading off with here is we're getting chipped. Michael Rosin of the Wisconsin Technology Network. Wisconsin's got a lot of technology, don't you know? Has a great analysis of how and why the medical device industry is growing faster than the drug industry. So why is the people doing the chipping doing better than the people doing the drugging. Because you think, you know, hey, drugs have been used to keep people in line for thousands of years. That's why we got trade with China. We're going to go in there. We're going to start, you know, pumping out the morphine, cigarette companies, all that good stuff. It's great to enslave a culture with drugs. I mean, we wouldn't be the first guys to do it. We're just going to enslave, like, modern culture and pop culture with drugs, because hey, everybody wants to be on drugs. All the celebrities are on drugs. Drugs are great. All you have to do is watch the news, and you'll get nothing but car commercials, drug commercials, and politicians. Sounds like the third layer of hell. However, getting back to this story, what he's saying here is that the medical device industry is growing faster than the drug industry. In short, it's because biomedical engineers are cooler than biochemists. Okay, it doesn't say that, even if it's true. The real analysis is as follows. The medical device market is about 50% of the world pharmaceutical market in terms of relative size. So it's half as big, which is pretty big. It's also growing faster than its drug counterpart. It's dominated by U.S. companies. 16 of the 25 companies are U.S.-based, with a 72% revenue. Okay, 72% of the revenue comes from well over 50% of the companies, so it's entirely a U.S.-based industry. MX estimates that medical device market sales will reach $336 billion in 2008, assuming similar growth to that of 2007 means the market was in excess of $300 billion. According to MX, although the top 25 companies represent the lion's share of sales, almost 6%, there are an estimated 20,000 medical device companies around the world. Only one company showed a decline, however slight, in growth, and then the two companies had flat sales. The remaining 22 companies all posted positive growth, with 15 companies showing double-digit growth, not to mention with substantial sales and growth, the companies like Toshiba Medical Systems, Hitachi Medical Systems, and Gambro. Hitachi and Toshiba Medical Systems. The medical device industry faces a number of challenges in addition to technology convergence factor mentioned earlier. In general, this industry is at lower risk than its pharmaceutical biotech drug counterpart for a couple of reasons. Okay, now here's the deal. Shorter product development times. They could put out new biotech hardware 33 to 50% faster than drug companies can. There's less regulation, okay? Less regulation on medical devices. Additional factors favoring the growth of this industry include the greater physician need for better, more precise diagnostics and imaging to guide them on patient disease status and proper disease management, whether surgical or pharmaceutical or both, because God knows they want to get you coming and going. There's more analysis of the challenges facing medical devices, with the biggest issue being reimbursement. Snarky commentary aside, we would venture that the medical device development does not lend itself to more predictable product development cycles than pharma. Engineering, project management, and gizmo development are at least a century old. The medical devices are a small subset of other devices, meaning there's tons of common knowledge regarding engineering project management. Drugs are a lot more of a biochemical crapshoot, taking years of effort before even begin targeting production. Now, here is quite the story. Okay, here is quite the story altogether. Leading after that, now I'm just scrolling down here because I went and I've got a bunch of stories all mixed in on this one here, but that's essentially it. That's what they're talking about with the medical devices being able to be cranked out faster than the drug devices because there's less regulation on the medical devices. So I prophesy that we'll be seeing a lot more of this brain chip stuff coming up. But thank you very much to AP2048 for this following surveillance news story. Listen to this one. As defined, in the Joint Warfighter Science and Technology Plan, military operations on urbanized terrain, or called MOUT, is the capability to conduct military operations in built-up areas and to achieve military objectives with minimum casualties and collateral damage. MOUT includes non-lethal weapons, precise weapons, surveillance, and situational awareness via communication effective in urban areas. Listen very carefully to what they're talking about here. They're talking about city warfare. The Armed Services recognizes the need for through-the-wall sensing technology in order to increase the situational awareness as well as weapon effectiveness in urbanized terrain. You want to have your sniper with the .50 be able to punch through the wall and hit the guy. DoD understands that currently soldiers are unable to communicate through walls and other obstacles that technology does not currently exist, nor does a breakthrough appear imminent that will allow non-line-of-sight transmission through obstacles of the large bandwidths needed to carry necessary information to the individual warrior. As the military adopts its training and doctrine to better suit urban warfare, it's working to emphasize the collection of intelligence about an area before troops are deployed. Additionally, the military recognizes there is a need for further investigation in sensors that are able to operate within the concrete confines of an urban environment. What are they talking about here? They're talking about sensors that can look through walls. There is a critical need for clandestinely determine the location, armament, and other tactical information on personnel equipment inside buildings to increase the effectiveness, safety of military operation using a system capable of remotely seeing through walls at distances in excess of 100 meters. The through-the-wall system must be capable of operating day and night, all weather conditions, generating highly exceptional high-resolution microwave images with a spatial relationships of 1.5 centimeters, and better through a variety of wall types, including drywall, wooden brick, adobe, concrete, straw wall structure without rebar, basically any city structure you can imagine. So they're talking about scanning through walls. And the way they're talking about doing it, and the minimum functionality of this system that they want is to determine if a room is occupied. If occupied, determine the location of occupants. Determine if inhabitants are armed or not. Determine if the materials of construction of the room. And map the contents of the room. Tails, filing cabinets, locations of doors, windows, etc. Moreover, the goal is to reliably detect, localize, and identify targets, day and night, all weather conditions, from a variety of different host platforms. What are we going to put these scanners on that can see through walls? They're going to be going on UAVs. They're going to be going on helicopter and ground vehicles, such as the Humvee, which requires lightweight, less than 30 pounds, and portable, less than 4 cubic feet system. In order to reduce technology insertion risk, the initial host platform will be a ground vehicle. In addition, there is a need for deep ground penetrating image systems for detection of localized mines, underground bunkers, and caves containing hostile subjects. Yuriko Aerospace is developing a through-the-wall imaging system capable of seeing through walls, such as drywall, wooden wall, concrete, and brick wall, using extremely high-resolution transient impulses of synthetic aperture radar, IMSAR. System. The system is capable of remotely imaging targets such as a man, weapons, filing cabinets on the other side of the wall at a large standoff distance. And it goes on, the site goes on and talks about this stuff. It's an amazing idea that you're going to see deployed to a police department near you. Because let's take the war on drugs, say. You know, it was interesting. I remember when I went down to Burning Man, and the park rangers were running around. And the way the park rangers were catching people who were doing drugs is they would drive through the camp at night, and they would look for the flick of the lighter. You know, if you're lighting up a bowl of drugs of some type or another, those horrible drugs. If you're flicking the lighter, it's going to create sparks, right? So if you flick the lighter, that creates a spark, and that is how the rangers and everybody would find where you were at. Which is like, well, you know, that's kind of funny, but when you apply that to see-through-the-walls technology, your privacy is now gone. Like, there is no privacy. We're talking about area surveillance. You know they're going to be deploying this thing on a plane. You know that. You know that they've already got, like, solar-powered UAVs that can hang up there for days and days and days. This is very important. It's important to realize that they're going to be putting out these scanners. If these guys are working on it now, I mean, you're not going to hear about this anywhere else, but this is what they got. And it's not like they're trying to be covert about it. They just know that the actual corporate media is not going to report on this stuff, so they don't give a shit. They'll put it out there for their investors. Hey, they want people to buy stock in this stuff. And that's where you're going to wind up finding out the good information. Like Noam Chomsky says, hey, read the business section, because that's where the money is. As well, I got some After Now news sent in by Vulgan. Very cool story. Did anyone ever listen to the After Now? Tales from the After Now. Do a search on Google. You'll find it. And in there, there's a story I did called, I think it was called Eyes. I think something to do with eyes. Anyway, in one of the stories, I have a device which I thought up, which was a thing used for basically total immersion into virtual reality, like Second Life or something of that nature. And it was called an Aikido mask. And it seems that We have a design concept for a keto mask. Granted, it's only on paper, but it's so after now, and the site is so after now. I was just like, oh, baby, this is exactly what I was talking about. Frog Design's concept face mask would let you escape reality by augmenting or replacing what you see, smell, hear with sensory inputs of your own choosing. In a troubling future, these augmented reality devices would offer a new dimension, a virtual layer that could be used to reskin the troubling world outside, a boundary between the wearer and the world around him. The device would become sort of a visual drug, used to make the world appear a better place, even if just for a moment. The device itself acts as a mask between the user and the outside world, expressing the internality of the human-device interaction. It offers a physical distinction between those moving in the real world and those who are plugged into their private dimensions and the world as they wish to see it. The visual design casts the mask as a lifestyle product of the future as it plays with the glaring, exaggerated coolness of the wearer. It gives an almost robotic appearance and suggests a diversion from what we define today as normal physical human interaction. Within the mask, smells, sounds, even air quality could be omitted to create a full sensory experience. The facial expressions of those wearing the device would be detected and projected onto personal avatars, visible to others living behind the shield of the mask. Very cool concept, and you can bet that these are devices that guys, the people who built the iPod, the guys at Apple over there, you know they're looking at this stuff. You know they got R&D stuff over here. These aren't the smartest guys in the room who made up this website. Okay, this is some interesting stuff that they're working on, and they're working on it because they know there's going to be a market for it. In the new Afternow book, which I'm currently writing, there's a disease. You know, I'm not going to talk about that. That's okay. We'll get back to that. But anyway, in Skynet, not to be a total prick, but anyway, in Skynet News by Renegade Rabbit. Sent me this one in here. Very good thing. In Skynet News, let me try that again. In Skynet News, sent to me by Renegade Rabbit, hidden deep in Senator Christopher Dodd's 630-page Senate housing legislation is a sweeping provision that affects the privacy and operation of nearly all of America's small businesses. The provision, which was added by the bill's managers without debate this week, would require the nation's payment system to track, aggregate, and report information on nearly every electronic transaction to the federal government. Okay? You can call Congress and tell them to oppose the eBay reporting provision in the housing bill. The number to do that is 1-866-928-3035. FreedomWorks Chairman Dick Armory commented, "This is a provision with astonishing reach, and it was slipped into a bill just this week. Not only does it affect nearly every credit card transaction in America, such as Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express, but the bill specifically targets payments such as eBay's PayPal, Amazon, and Google Checkout that are used by many small online businesses. The privacy implications for America's small businesses are breathtaking." Privacy groups like the Center for Democracy and Technology and small business organizations like the NFIB sharply criticized this idea when it first appeared earlier this year. What is the federal government's purpose with this kind of detailed data? How will this database be secured? Who will have access? Many small proprietors use their social security number as their tax ID. How will this privacy be protected? What compliance costs are imposed on this business? Why is Senator Chris Dodd putting this provision in a housing bailout bill? The bill also includes the creation of new national fingerprint registry for mortgage brokers. Wow. You know, I mean, that seems a little bit, it just seems a little bit much to me. You know what I mean? Like, I cannot believe that there is that much crap coming in down the pipe. I guess everybody's looking at China, everyone's looking at England and thinking, hey, that's a great idea. Let's make sure we lab rat our population, too. At a time when concerns about both identity theft and government spying are paramount, Congress wants to create a new honeypot of private data that includes social security numbers. That includes social security numbers. This bill reduces privacy across America's payment processing system and treats every American small business or eBay power seller like a criminal on parole by requiring an unprecedented level of reporting to the federal government. This outrageous idea is another reason to delay the housing bailout legislation so that senators and the public at large have time to examine the full implications. Now, this is, again, my cynicism coming to the forefront. But unfortunately, I'm of the opinion that I think that no matter what you do, this bill is going to go in. It's why wouldn't they want to track every single electronic transfer? I sort of assumed it was already being done. Maybe I'm hideously naive to just, but I always assume that if you're paying for something electronically, you can bank that everybody and their dog knows about it. I mean, you know, go watch the Bourne Identity. It's a pretty interesting concept. You know, a lot of the things that they do in some of these spy movies. It's kind of sad. Now, in brain chip news, I got a little bit more brain chip news. Remember that story I just said in the beginning there? We were talking about, ways to, the medical industry does not have as much regulation on it, so it's growing faster than the pharmaceutical industry is. Normally I talk a lot about pharma fascism, but now we've got the technocracy. Didn't it do some interesting stuff where you know, it's starting to look like an episode of the old British show Tripods, which if you haven't seen Tripods, I highly recommend you check it out. Very, very cool. In brain chip news, there's a concern in some corners of the U.S. military about enemy activities in sleep research. What? Neuropharmaceutical performance enhancement and brain-computer interfaces. And that's not coming from the Pentagon scientific fringe or for some tin hat kook with a Defense Department badge. The celebrated scientists on the Pentagon's most prestigious scientific advisory panel, the JASON panel, now this is quite the panel, are the ones worried about adversaries' ability to exploit advances in human performance modification and thus create a threat to national security. What are they talking about? They're talking about bio boosters. They're talking about body mods. They're talking about boosting. They're talking about juicers is what they're talking about. In a recent report unearthed by Secrecy News, the JASONs are recommending that the American military push ahead with its own performance-enhancing research and monitor foreign studies to make sure the U.S. enemies don't suddenly become smarter, faster, and better able to endure the harsh realities of war than American troops. Juicers. The JASONs are particularly... That's just frightening that they're called the JASONs. The JASONs are particularly concerned and excited by new drugs that promote brain plasticity, rewiring the mind, essentially by helping permanently establish new neural pathways and thus new cognitive capabilities. Interesting. The military has already tested these neuromodulators as a way to keep troops alert after sleepless nights. But these new drugs will certainly have extensive off-label use for improvement of memory and cognitive performance. They may have the additional effect of weakening the overriding existing memories. Depending on the ultimate performance of these drugs, adversaries might use them in training programs or in field operations to increase troop effectiveness or modify troop behavior and/or emotional responses. Which means that if you're a very moral person and you have a problem with shooting babies, they feed you drugs just like the Nazis used to hand out methamphetamines inside of the ration packs. And lo and behold, you got a bunch of 17 to 19-year-old German kids running around bayoneting babies. Some of them were just pieces of shit, like, you know, the Ustashi, whom no one ever talks about, who is by far the most savage of all of the Nazi, stormtroopers. Go check it out. This is not a debated point. The Ustashi were absolutely fucking brutal, and they continued to exist after the war ended. As a matter of fact, as far back as in the mid-90s, there were groups of the Ustashi that were still functioning in the former Republic of Yugoslavia. The scientific group also wants military to keep close watch on the hardware and software which connects the human brain to machines. American researchers have used these brain-computer interfaces to develop new prosthetics and to train monkeys to control robotic limbs, both of these stories we've reported on. Northrop Grumman has just won the Pentagon contract to develop binoculars that will tap into the subconscious mind. We've also covered this one as well. The JASONs believe the primary threat potential for adversary use of brain-computer interface may arise in a feedback mode in which an interface provides a soldier with a simple signal or pain-pleasure pulse in response to externally provided situational information. Wow, wireheading your soldiers to feel good if they shoot someone. That's what they're talking about. Longer-term adversarial developments may include prosthetic application providing specialized sensory input or mechanical output. None of this is likely to happen soon. But what the hell is soon? What the hell is soon, guys? 10 years ago, I was talking about all this stuff and looking at it inside of Steve Jackson game books, and now I'm reading about it on the internet. So, you know, we got photos to go with it. Even the most basic of these advances, a drug effectively consistently fighting sleep deprivation, still isn't ready for wartime. If an opposing force had a significant sleep advantage, it would pose a serious threat. However, the technical likelihood of such a development is small at present, the JASONs note. Well, other than the fact that they've been, you know, handing out modafinil to people since the Balkans. But anyway, but since existing neuropharmaceuticals are used rather commonly as study aids, and since the U.S. military will certainly test whether and to what extent the new lessons in neuroscience can be used in military training, it is reasonable to expect that adversaries will do so as well. We do not expect the development of super soldiers as a result of improved training, although enhanced military capability can certainly be expected. Well, you know, technically speaking, the super soldier is actually just an enhanced military capability. You know, that's like saying, well, we don't think that we're going to create super soldiers, but we expect them to be able to pick up cars and throw them. While it's impossible to improve athletic performance using supplements or banned substance, e.g. the former East German sports team, such improvements are often either small, in effect, highly variable from individual to individual, or dependent on coordination with highly disciplined training regimes, like the kind you get in the Army. As a result, the tactical advantage that might be gained by an adversary employing supplements is not likely to be overwhelming in general operations. Not likely to. Let's look at history. The whole Blitzkrieg was basically funded by methamphetamines. Like, that's what fueled the soldiers running across Europe and killing everybody. So when you're handing out meth to your guys, I would say that gives you a pretty hardcore tactical advantage. Special circumstances, such as the use of cat in Somalia, it's a drug, you chew it and you eat this shit, it basically wires you up like caffeine, it's like chewing gum jolt, tastes like shit, can however contribute to the unexpected enemy behavior. Therefore, it is important for the U.S. to establish and maintain awareness of adversaries' use of performance-modifying substances, either part of a local culture or officially established military policy. Yeah, they're really nervous about this because, you know, they got these guys now, and in Iraq, they were finding these dudes who are doing a Chinese variant of a drug called BZ. Now, BZ, you get some weird, weird reports off of BZ. You know, some people are saying, oh, no, it's like an incapacitator. It wasn't like, you know, you're psycho-aggressive or whatever. But that's what BZ is. It kind of made people a little bit psycho-crazy. And they're pulling these Chinese aggression drugs out of these Islamo-psycho dudes over there in Iraq. They're shooting them, they you know, they cut them up and everything, find out what's inside of them, and they're finding these weird Chinese combat drugs. So combat drugs are a reality. And guys are going away from the 5.56 inside of the M4s and stuff like that, and they're going back to the 7.62 inside of the M14s because when you smack someone with a 5.56, they don't sit down. You hit them with an M14 with a 7.62, they sit down. You know, take a load off. And if I'm shooting at someone, I want them to sit down. Okay, that's what I want them to do. I'm shooting at you because I want to kill you. I don't want to wound you. I want to kill you. And that's, you know, but, you know, realistically, the only reason why we went to 5.56 is because of the military-industrial complex and, you know, the need to, you know, spend more money on ammo and blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's all a job. It's so sickening how seriously money-driven the military is. It's really quite depressing. So in UFO news, which was sent in by Rogue Trooper, yo Rogue, in UFO news, secret files on UFO sightings have been made available for the first time by the Ministry of Defense. This is in England now. The documents, which can be downloaded from the National Archives website, cover the period from 1978 to 1987. Fairly recent stuff. They include amounts of strange lights in the sky, unexplained objects being spotted in the public, armed forces, and police officers. These are guys who, like, know what they're looking for. Like, a jet fighter pilot's going to know if another jet fighter pilot's hanging around. One man explained in great detail his physical and psychic contact with green aliens since he was a child. Now, you'll notice that this article tries to make the whole thing sound ridiculous. The writer said that one of them, called Al Gore, was killed in 1901 by another race of beings. He was about to make contact with the UK government. The letter's author said he was visited their bases in the Wirral and Cheshire while his wife reported seeing a UFO shot down over Wallasey on Merseyside. The eight released files are part of almost 200 files being set to be made available over the next 4 years. These documents will be available to download for free for the first month. A spokesman for the National Archives said they are now becoming available after several requests made under the Freedom of Information Act, and also because of the proactive move by the Ministry of Defense for an open and transparent government. Yeah, I'll bet. They're going to find the kookiest UFO stories they can and make them available for free, thereby discrediting the movement. Much of the previously classified paperwork is made up of correspondence from the public sent in to government officials such as the Minister of Defense and the then Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher. Another document reveals the experience of a 78-year-old man who alleges he met an alien beside Bayswater Canal in Aldershot, Hampshire in 1983. He said he went aboard a craft, giving a detailed explanation before making before being quizzed by the aliens about his age. He was then told, "You can go." He was then told, "You can go. You are too old and too infirm for our purposes." Dun dun dun. Another letter from the director of a group called the Wigan Aerial Phenomenon Investigation Team, so WAP, WAPIT, asked the Ministry of Defense if it had a code of practice for dealing with an alien invasion. A further document, well, that's it. That's a totally legit question. Like, hey, do you guys actually have anything on the books in case we get invaded? A further document reveals how on 21st February 1982, a group of customers and staff at Tunbridge Wells Pub reported an unknown object with a green and red flashing lights seen heading in the direction of Gatwick Airport. There are some reports from more official sources. What the hell? What do you mean? I mean, guys know what a plane is. Just because, oh, well, that's nothing. There's some reports from more official sources. The United States Air Force filed a report about two USAF policemen who saw unusual lights outside the back gate at an RAF Woodbridge in Suffolk, December 1980. This relates to the well-known incident of an alleged alien encounter at Rendlesham Forest, dubbed Britain's Roswell, after the supposed contact made with aliens at Roswell in the United States. Several drawings are visible in the files for those keen to demonstrate what they had seen. One such sketch was made by Metropolitan Police officers who were called out to a house in Stanmore, London Borough, on Harrow of 26th of April, 1984. The officers spent an hour observing an object in the sky, which moved erratically from side to side, up and down, to and fro, not venturing far from the original position. One of the PCs, who saw the object through binos, described it as circular in the middle and what appeared to be a dome on the top and underneath with different colored lights. Well, you know, they're just cops. You know, I mean, their testimony is good enough to put people in jail for the rest of their lives. I mean, you know, what the hell? Visitors to the National Archives site will find a video cast from Nick Pope, a British UFO specialist. Mr. Pope picked out one incident where the UFO was spotted over central London. This is a very interesting illustration that actually UFOs are seen in built-up areas. People have this idea they're seen in desolate rural places. There's a sighting actually on the Waterloo Bridge when a number of witnesses actually stopped to look at this UFO that was seen over Thames. Mr. Pope said, "The most common explanation of UFOs were aircraft lights, bright stars, planets, satellites, meteors, or airships." Technically, I suppose they are airships. A detailed briefing is available within the files, which was prepared by the MOD for Lord Stabolgi, the government chief whip, for a debate on the UFOs in the House of Lords in January of 1979. The briefing said that there is nothing to indicate ufology is anything other but claptrap, and the idea of intergovernmental conspiracy of silence was the most astonishing and the most flattering claim of all. Interesting. Interesting stuff. Now, I wonder sometimes about this UFO thing. And the problem with the UFO phenomenon isn't this, like, not a couple of guys. You know, it's not like people seeing the Loch Ness Monster here. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands of sightings every single year. Hundreds of thousands of sightings every year. I have seen one. Saw one on the prairies. Little light in the sky doing all kinds of funky shit. Kind of anticlimactic, really? Me and my buddy were out there, and I'm like, "Hey, do you see that?" And he's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "That's not really a plane." And my buddy at the time was a pilot, so he's like, no, that's definitely not a plane." So what is that then? I guess it's UFO. He sat there for a while, did some stuff, and then it took off. And that was it. Wasn't a firefly. Don't know what the hell it was, but it's definitely something. Do we know what it is? There's satellite footage. You look at the space program. There's a craft inside the atmosphere that just takes off. They have footage from it from the space shuttle. Go onto YouTube. Type in UFO. There's like a lot of that stuff. And everyone's like, no. Look over here. Don't look over there. So I'm a little bit, it isn't interesting. Back in the 50s, you look at the movies in the 50s, and all the aliens looked different. Some of them were crab people. Some had bug eyes and big brains and were scary looking. But now, in every single show, all the aliens look the same. All the aliens, little dudes, bug eyes, you know what they look like. You know what I mean? It's an interesting phenomenon that now all of the aliens look the same. Are we getting primed? Are we getting primed for finally someone to say, "Hey, check it out, we've got alien overlord masters. We better be friendly with them because this is going to turn into V." And if you haven't watched V, that's another show you should watch. So far, we've for alien shows, we've got tripods and V. Yeah. Now, talking back to the medical devices again, we're talking it's real easy to get medical devices out there, right? If it's a device, if it is a physical thing, if it is not a drug. Well, how about some white blood for you sent in by Bucky Fuller? OxyCite is the newest product in a family of compounds known as artificial blood. The search for a synthetic substitute for human blood began as early as the 19th century, and doctors actually tried using milk to replenish blood loss. Probably didn't work out that well. With the onset of AIDS crisis in the early 80s, pharmaceutical companies took on the cause in force, competing to create an artificial substance that could eliminate the problems, including tainted blood and supply shortages associated with donated blood. The idea was that these substitutes could replace the use of donated blood in transfusions during surgery and in patients who experienced major blood loss through injury. Two categories of contenders soon emerged. The first was a red-colored substitute made in part from human or animal hemoglobin, the protein in our red blood cells that carries oxygen. The second was a snow-white, completely synthetic substance made from pure fluorocarbons, or PFCs, composed whose chemical makeup closely resembles the nonstick Teflon in your frying pan. Yeah! PFCs have the highest gas dissolving capacity of any liquid. When used with supplemental oxygen, allow blood to carry many times more oxygen than it normally does, and carry more oxygen faster and more easily than hemoglobin-based substance. In large-scale clinical trials in the 80s and 90s, which researchers pitted the fake blood against the real thing, patients who received the artificial stuff experienced a disproportionate number of heart attacks and strokes. Yeah, they killed them. These outcomes widely attributed to a combination of poorly designed trials and first-generation formulas. Whoa, that blood's in beta, effectively shutting down human studies and, in some cases, bankrupting biotech firms. Yeah, I'll use real blood, thanks. After 2 decades and $1 billion worth of research, the most valuable lesson learned was that real blood and artificial bloods were apples and oranges. The life-giving liquid in our veins acts like a supply line for everything from nutrients to hormones to oxygen. And even working double time to regulate our blood pressure and fight infection, the manufactured substances, on the other hand, are one-trick ponies for oxygen delivery. But it's a trick performing remarkably well in the case of PFC-based substitutes carrying oxygen rates 50 times of our own blood. So we got to understand that this is what they're doing. They're pressing out the synthetic. Why would you create androids when you can build androids out of people? Right? What if you... Now, let me just speculate a little bit here. If someone's clinically brain dead, right? And they've donated their body to science, right? What if we could eventually, as we map the brain, just put in a new brain? Not one that's like... Maybe the brain's fried, right? But maybe we can reconstruct the brain the same way. If you go to my live journal, look at today's show, there's a picture of a mouse who's been wireheaded. It's kind of sick, actually. They're talking about putting chips into the brains of people. This is the kind of stuff that they're starting to work on now. So there could become a day where people who are mentally deranged, considered unfit for society, what have you, are just turned into wirehead zombies for our core political masters. Have a think on that with a pen and paper for a while and tell me what you draw up. I got some daily hacks today, and there's some good ones too. Your number 10... This is, well, the 10th story, actually. But how about this one here? How about an IR mask? Now, this is a really cool device. This is something that, if I'm talking to you, you're wearing sunglasses. It doesn't look like anything. But if I try to film you, I can't get a picture of your face. Okay, so you just made a total ass of yourself on a reality TV show, and now those pesky press are haunting you for news bites, trying to catch you doing scandalizing thing on camera. How can you avoid that? Good disclaimer. Well, for starters, you could not participate in a reality show, but then again, if you already have and you have the paparazzi permanently on your tail, you might want to try making yourself one of these anti-paparazzi sunglasses. I love it. The concept is very simple. You need a pair of oversized celebrity glasses, preferably normal black Wayfarers, a couple of lithium batteries, a length of wire, a couple of powerful infrared LED lights. Just stick the lights to the sides of the glasses, hook them up to the wire, attach the batteries, and voila! The IR LED lights will make it impossible for a camera to capture your face, and you won't ever be caught on tape if you don't want to. Yes, interesting, eh? Mind you can bet that if you're walking around and no one's seeing your face because you got these things on, eventually there's going to be some heat. That's going to be a big heat score. Another daily hack today, we've got Upload Jockey. The website Upload Jockey takes the shotgun approach to uploading and file sharing on the web. Send your file to multiple file sharing services in one click. The downside of Upload Jockey is that the service it uploads to are some of the dinosaurs in the online file sharing game, like RapidShare and Mega Upload. That said, if you need a shotgun approach, say your ISP is blocking one service and may not be blocking another, it's a handy one-stop shop for sharing files up to 100 megs in size. If not, you're better off going with one of the 5 best online file shares, which you can link from the same story. I'm thinking, is anybody, like, dating the shows and throwing them online? Like, is there a way that people can just go into BitTorrent and just type in, like, latest newsreel? Or, well, I guess that would always just come up. But, you know, like, the latest date. People know the naming convention, 2008-04-07 or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's maybe that might be a way to do that. Maybe somebody could do that with a date or whatever. You know, it's a good way to distribute the show if anybody wants to listen, you know? But for those of you who are here right now, I mean, really, the guys who are in Second Life checking out the show, these people are on the bleeding edge. I mean, these guys know about the stuff. Because, how many people can... A lot of people listen to the show. They get the show, it's a few days before it hits the ground, right? But even still, there's stuff that I report on in this show that takes Slashdot, like, 2 weeks to find, okay? And you read about it on, like, you know, Reddit and stuff like that a week and a half later. You know what I mean? And sometimes it shows up like 2 months later. So it's important that we understand, and it's important that we distribute this information, and that's kind of what the whole thing's all about. So part of distributing the information and part of distributing, you know, what we do is the Recomedia section of the show. Great segue. Hey, Sean! Got some... Now, everybody knows... Well, if you don't know, there's a... I did a funny little thing called Tales from the After Now, which is a series of... It's in the after now. It's a near now approach to a dystopian future where I'm broadcasting from the future to the past, just try to prevent the future from happening. Kind of like a War of the Worlds meets Terminator. And very, very successful. I did about 18 episodes. Everybody loved it. They're mad for it. Tried to do some other horror stories. Nobody was interested in that. They just wanted more and more science fiction, and that's the reason why now my writing is going towards the science fiction. But I'm very encouraged that people are doing art and they're trying to do more after now stuff, especially the audio stuff. And it's really, really hard for people to do it because it was kind of a neat idea when I did it. And now people they listen to other stuff that people do, and they totally plan these people. They totally just crap all over them because they're trying to build on the genre. Imagine how shit on people would feel if every time they wrote a fantasy story, they said, oh, you're just trying to be like Tolkien. And that's not cool. So I'm really happy that, and I didn't put his name in, oh my god, Xander Svoboda, Xander, he went and did an After Now piece, which is available in the Recomedia, and he sent me in this letter saying, hey Sean, just wanted to send this link to you. No, it's not a Rickroll. It's my first episode from Tales from the After Now, project entitled The Storm. It's about a doctor living through the unfortunate events told by Sean Kennedy VI. It's really short, it's 11 minutes long, check it out, it's pretty cool. I don't want to give too much away because some interesting twists and turns in store for the listeners, some hidden messages, and I'm sure more than a few wogs will pick up and enjoy. And hey, if you want to do this kind of stuff, that's why I did it. Okay? It's an awesome little soundbite is what he put on there. And it's worthwhile. So definitely download and check it out. If you're into After Now, hey, it'll keep you on track. And if you don't like it, do something better. If you think you can do better, do something better. Write a story. But don't sit there and throw rocks at the guy when you haven't done anything yourself. Because I think it's just cool that anybody would even give a crap. Anyway, got some more Recomedia for you from about nanotechnology, which, since we already know medical devices are on the up and up, it might be a good idea to arm yourself with information. And Ad Nauseam sent me this awesome, like how people should send in their Recomedia stories. Material science has advanced to the nanoscale. New materials are being designed and discovered with properties never before seen as created by Mother Nature. This video is a great primer for anyone who's completely ignorant of nanotechnology or for anyone who wants proof of concept on film. Electrical circuits and mechanical components can be now made at the nano level, are bringing us new tools and almost invisible packages not to be missed. The video is approximately 30 minutes long of average quality. I love the fact that it's got average quality on there. That's great. Thank you, Ad Nauseam, for sending that in there. You can bet that it's going to be up there. And Al Trux sent in a very, very disturbing piece about the rise of neo-Nazis in Russia, which I don't think anybody lost more people to the Nazis than Russia did, but apparently the neo-Nazis are taking hold over there because the borders are wide open and these people are getting pissed off. As well, dear Sean, I know I got a ton of Recomedia today. Here's an interesting video detailing U.S. Social Security situation. Personally, I don't think private accounts are a good idea. So long as I control where it goes, not stocks and bonds. I base this on less than 3% of average growth with your payroll taxes versus Social Security, where I have to say I pay 100 in payroll tax. I get my whole life. I get less than 103 back when I retire. certificates of deposit yield off of 5%, and their online savings accounts that yield nearly 5% if you keep your assets liquid. And with those alternative options, CDS bank account, I get annual interest that is compounded, similar to how they say if you save X amount of money from the day you turn 18, you'll have X million dollars. That's due to compound interest with smart, secure private accounts. You get the compound interest, not the government, where $1 in $3 is wasted right down the shitter. Sorry this was lengthy, but this is important, and that was sent in by The Boon. And The Boon always sends me really good stories, and this is another one. You want to check this out. Guys, pay attention to your money, okay? Don't just take the devil may care attitude. Don't just fall into the latte syndrome. Watch your nickels and dimes, and your dollars will look after themselves. If somebody had just drilled that into my head when I was a lot younger, maybe when I was your guys' age, it would be a shitload better, let me tell you. Very, very important. Look after your cash. Don't go wasting it on crap. Seriously, hold on to your money. Have an escape plan, man. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to this program, please distribute it. Get it out there. Distribute it any way you can. I don't have time to keep up with all the different social networks, so make sure you mention it on yours. Facebook, Twitter, what have you. I don't care. StumbleUpon, you name it. Get it out there, because the show is only as strong as you are, and that gives me hope, because I've got some pretty strong fans. But if you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab on the Dark Atlas website, or send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 12215C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M, 2M4. I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for assistance gathering data. If you have information you'd like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at randradio.com. If you like the music in the background, please check out some Psytrance, because, hey, who doesn't like Psytrance? Gonna fade out now with a track from Johnny Cash singing When the Man Comes Around, which, by the way, is if you see the remake of Dawn of the Dead, or Day of the Dead, I think it's remake of Dawn. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say it's a remake of Dawn. Yeah, it is Dawn, thank you. It's worth the price of admission. You could go in, you could buy, yeah, actually, fuck it, just buy Dawn of the Dead, okay? And if you're watching the film, there will come a point where you're going to see Johnny Cash singing Where the Man Comes Around. And you could shut the movie off after that point, and you would have got your $20 worth out of that film. You know what I'm saying? You totally would have got your money, because I went in the theater. I saw it in the theater. Seriously, the film could have broke, and somebody could have punched me in the face after that, and I still would have had a wow movie experience. You know, sometimes you get to see stuff like that. It's pretty sexy. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. So until next time, everyone, hey, that's what Server said. End of line.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup, or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne, and at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around, whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around, hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured hundredweight and penny pound, when the man comes around.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him.